Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. Say true worshipers. Apparently there are untrue worshipers. And in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You may be seated. I'm talking to you tonight on the subject, the wonderful world of worship. 8,629 times, I told you last week, is the word worship used in the Bible. Just by its redundancy, it'll send a signal to us that that is very important in the mind of God. The word praise is used 200 times, so when you put them together, almost 9,000 times the words worship and praise are used. So they are urgent in the mind of God. If they are that urgent, we have to ask why. The critics of God, the agnostics, would say, well, God must be an egomaniac if he would say 9,000 times, worship me. But we concluded from studying just real briefly the Word of God last week that it's not because God is an egomaniac, not based on divine ego. It's the constant call of God to worship him because God has a constant desire to be in fellowship with his people. So it's not an ego trip. Rather, it is a desire for relationship between the Creator and his creation. I said last week, worship is the bridge between two worlds, and it really is. And there's nothing that can happen to you that will be greater in your life than you can become invested and participate in God's world and God participate in your world. And so we understand when God said, I inhabit the praise of Israel or the praises of my people. That's exactly what he's saying. I will come into your world. Worship is the open door between two worlds. It's the ladder between heaven and earth. It is the opening of the gate to heaven and the windows of heaven. Jacob is introduced to that in Genesis 28. And that's where we ended up last week, talking about that ladder being let down. And suddenly there is ascensions and descensions as the angels come back and forth ministering to Jacob and turning him from a liar and a beggar and a thief to the prize of Almighty God. That was because of worship, because God let his ladder down. There is a peril, a danger of undervaluing true worship. And most Christians do. Most Christian churches do that. You go there, there's not hardly any worship. There might be a sermon, there might be a speech, and there might be entertainment, but very little worship because they do not understand, nor do they place value on worship. But we're talking about the gateway. Remember this. He said, Lord, there are few that be saved. And he said unto them, Jesus, strive to enter at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. I tell you that praise is like a combination lock. Worship is like, it is like opening the door. It's like spinning the dial until the door comes open. And suddenly you're in God's presence. And God is in your presence. And things begin to happen. So many don't understand the power of worship. Or they don't know how to worship. Even if they understand, they just don't know how to worship because they've not been taught or led or experienced or in an atmosphere and a climate that is permeated with worship. So they simply do not know. And unfortunately, because of that, they never really receive access to God's world, to God's presence. They have no idea what David was talking about when he said, in his presence is fullness of joy. They've never experienced that. Because they do not know the value of worship. Remember, God is seeking worshipers. The Father is seeking such to worship him. True worshipers to worship him. We talk about seeking God. God is seeking us. He's seeking for us to become true worshipers. Because when that happens, God knows that that desire for us to be interconnected and to be put together like husband and wife. It's the reason why he uses that analogy throughout the scripture, the bride of Christ. It puts us together when we become true worshipers. Worship is the preeminent pathway to drawing closer to God. People speak about, I'd like to go draw close to God. Well, worship is that preeminent pathway, that preeminent factor, that major factor of saying, I'm getting close to God. Draw nigh to God. Look what he says. Draw nigh to God. This is very interesting. I always look at chronological order. I look at things, how they happen. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And look who he is addressing. This is the revelation that God is elaborating me with. Because I was raised where we qualified worshipers so great. You know, they had to be free from any bad habit. If you were a smoker, you couldn't worship God. If you drank, you couldn't worship God. If you were dressed a certain way, and when you preached in bigoted churches, and I've preached in a lot of them. When I was preaching in Louisiana, it was all white. And they heard me on the radio. They put me on the radio every day, and the African Americans begin to come. And so that pastor, because he was bigoted and prejudiced, he told them before they could be a part of the church, they had to get baptized, they had to speak in tongues, and they had to pay tithes. That was his way of excluding people. And that's the spirit of the world. You talk about prejudice, it's a spirit of exclusion. The church of the living God is never exclusive. It is always inclusive, bringing people in, no matter where they are. And so God has shown me this revelation that we do not qualify worshipers. We might qualify Sunday school teachers that are going to speak into your little children's hearts, but we do not qualify worshipers. And the reason why, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye saints. No. He says, draw nigh to God, ye sinners. All of this happens before perfection ever arrives, if it ever does. So God does not say to you, when you get perfect, draw nigh to me. Draw nigh to me just as you are. Again, worship is the key to inclusion versus exclusion. Worship guarantees access. Judah was the first tribe. The first tribe always to lead Israel. They were the one that always camped closest to the tabernacle door. Worshippers are always first. They're always out front. Worship is the starting point to the necessities of pleasing God. Let me slow that down. Worship is the starting point to the necessities of pleasing God. What do you mean? Repentance is pleasing to God. But before that, he tells us to draw nigh to him, to worship him. The first paragraph of the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer at all. The first paragraph is worship. Every prayer ought to be preceded by praise and worship. No matter what kind of relationship you are trying to develop with the Lord, the first should be that you would praise the Lord. Esau, the Bible, I've always been haunted by this verse, and it just came to me this week. Esau sought repentance carefully with tears. It said he would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected. I don't want to be rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Here was a man that was crying, and his repentance still was not accepted. He had no place of repentance. Because before you can repent, there has to be an acknowledging of who you're repenting to. There has to be a worship of the God that you're worshiping. He is not a man that can be made to be worshiped with men's hands, only with the human spirit. And so Esau was not a worshiper. And because of that, he never gained access. Worship is not only the exit ramp to the devil's highway to hell. Worship is God's entrance ramp to the highway of holiness to heaven. When you praise and worship God, things begin to happen. Friend, most of us that have sought after God find ourselves like Paul saying, wretched man that I am. We find ourselves falling short. Oh, when I would do good, evil is present. I just can't measure up. The bar is too high. And so that's the reason why God puts worship first, before prayer, before repentance, before anything else. God puts worship first because he will inhabit that praise. And the bar is too high. But when you begin to worship the Lord is going to help you over that bar. He's going to help you repent. He's going to help you become what you want to be and what you need to be. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Here it is. Enter into his gate. Where would that be? Enter into the parking lot. Enter into the sanctuary. But before that, enter into the vestibule. Before you have repented, before you've done anything, begin to worship the Lord. He said, enter into the gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. That's the very first thing that you do. It opens up. It gives you access. It empowers you. You sinners are invited to worship. Three barriers to drawing nigh to God. Number one, dirty hands. But he said, bring to God your praise and draw near to me. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. In Psalm 134 and 2, he will define that. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. You don't walk into this building and sit there and meditate for 30 minutes and say, have I been good enough to praise God? Have I been faithful enough to praise God? Have I prayed enough this week to praise God? Have I given enough money to praise God? Have I witnessed to enough people to praise God? No, that's not what he said. He said, when you come into my courts, when you come into my gates, he said, begin to worship me. And when you do that, I will empower you to become not only what you want to be, but what I want you to be. Worship has an amazing, amazing thing. And so he said, cleanse your hands, purify your heart. Being pure in heart means that your heart is clean of sin. But all of this happens because you worship the Lord. The Lord cleanses your hands. The Lord purifies your heart. And finally, become single-minded. He said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Praise God where your treasures, there will your heart be also. If there thy eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. You say, oh, I want so much from God. Certainly, you want to get in God's world. You want God to get in your world, but you're not capable, you're not able. But when you praise and worship God, he inhabits that praise. And there is a new configuration of your body, soul, and spirit. You become a new person. You become a spiritual being in the eyes of Almighty God. And finally, God opens up the doors of heaven and begins to pour out things that are not of this world. The Apostle Paul would say, oh, I knew a man. He said, about 14 years ago, I knew a man, whether in the spirit or out of the spirit, I cannot say. That's when you worship God. You slip into a place. He said, I saw things that was unlawful to utter. God wants to take you to a place, and I don't care if you've been living for the Lord for 50 years. He wants to take you to a place that you've never, ever investigated, you've never known. He wants to give you things you'd never possessed. And you say, when will I get good enough? Never, ever, ever. But praise God, if you will worship the Lord will do the cleansing of your hands. The Lord will do the purifying of your heart. The Lord will give you the singleness of eye because you draw nigh to the Lord in his praise. This is the secret to accessing treasures in heaven. Praise God. And God wants to do that right now. He wants you to become such a person of worship. You say, I just so guilty. I condemn myself. Friend, none of us, when we look in the mirror, can testify of our flesh. But if we become praises and worship, I promise you that God will do things in us that we have never, ever experienced before. And this is particularly good for those of you that are new in the Lord. But it's also great for those of us that have been following God for a long time and say, I've seen it all, I've tasted it all, I've worn it all, I've been it all. No, you haven't. Praise God. If you will increase the warfare of worship in your life, it will take you off the exit ramp of hell. It'll put you on the entrance ramp to heaven. And suddenly after 25 years of living for the Lord, you'll say it just seems like the Lord is getting better every day. It gets sweeter as the days go by. I just can't wait to praise God. I've been praising God for 25 years, but praise God, I've got a new zeal to praise him. I've got a new joy in praising him. I've got a new desire to praise Him, I find that my praise is now hitting the target more than it's missing. Praise God. I can get the bullseye. When I praise, there's a boomerang. There's a response. When I worship God, suddenly God is in my life. When I praise God, I can see the reciprocation of that in my children, in my house, in my family, because God gets in my world. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. When we talk about Pastor Brandon was preaching Sunday, and I never had no all the times I've heard thousands of sermons and preached thousands of sermons, and it never dawned on me that all of these people he was talking about, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, were all from the tribe of Judah, until he just read the verse. It said, and they're children of Judah. And praise God, it just came all over me. What he's saying, they are all worshipers. Friend, you might find yourself in Babylon. You might find yourself a hostage. You might find yourself kidnapped. You might find yourself out of your element. You might find yourself somewhere you don't want to be. But praise God, in a bad place, if you're a worshiper, good things will start happening to you. And God will exalt you even in the presence of your enemies and people that hate you. Praise God. We are worshipers. We are worshipers first and foremost. Oh, you say, why is the Christian church so anemic? Why is America in the situation it is? It's not because of the last 10 presidents. It's because of the last 10,000 preachers that never preached the counsel of God. And we've got a dead church, an anemic church that sits in little rows, and people don't know how to worship God, and they're not the tribe of Judah. And so we've got the situation we've got in America, but of the church of the living God. From the Catholic Church to the Pentecostal Church, from the Presbyterian Church to the Methodist Church, if they would understand who they are, and more importantly, they would understand who God is and whose they are, and they would become true worshipers, we would break the role, we would break the terrible tentacles of racial prejudice and hatred that is rampant in this country and in this world. The key is that we need the people of God to reach up and say, praise God, I know in whom I've believed, and I know whose I am. I'm going to worship Him until heaven opens up on earth, until heaven opens up on America, until the Spirit of God's grace and the power of God's mercy and the Holy Ghost fall like rain. You say, that doesn't have anything to do with what we see in our streets. It has everything to do with what we see in our streets. But remember what happened in the Old Testament, the tabernacle door. Suddenly the Spirit was so strong in the tabernacle, it went out from the door. And praise God, it flew out into the streets and it touched everything, and everything that it touched lived. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not condemn anybody that is marching for equality for everything that they desire and need. I understand that. But friend, I'm going to tell you that is a poor substitute to the saints of the living God becoming such worshipers that the glory of the house is so filled with God's power that it can't be contained in a building, praise God, but it rides in your car, and praise God, when you open your door, it gets out with you. It follows you to work. It follows you to school. It follows you to HEB. It follows you to your shop. It follows you everywhere you're going, because you are a worshiper that can literally bind hell and open heaven, praise God. Our finest hour is yet. Hallelujah. I promise you that no matter how they strain, that this world is going to fail in finding racial equality and freedom for every citizen. It will not work. The only hope is that the church of the living God will wake up to the wonderful world of worship, and we literally become a force for love and equality and inclusion in this great country that we live in. Can you give God some worship in this house right now? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it's when Jehoshaphat and Judah was suddenly surrounded by so many enemies. They were hopelessly outnumbered. They simply did not know what to do by the sheer magnitude of the enemy. That's kind of where we are today. Folks don't know where to have church or not. Folks don't know what to say. If I say this, it might be misinterpreted. They might think I meant that. Everybody's scared. Nobody knows what to do. And so that's the way Jehoshaphat was. He said, I don't know what to do. And the Bible said he worshiped the Lord. And he inquired of the Lord, what shall I do? And God began to direct him. He didn't tell him to become politically expedient. He didn't tell him to get sharper swords and better weapons and more horses and greater chariots. He said, no, I'll tell you what to do. Appoint worshipers. Because he said, this is not your battle. This is the Lord's battle. We are in an amazing battle in America for the soul of America. But this is not our battle. This is our Lord's battle. America has been the bloody pulpit of the world for the last 200 years. And if America falls, the pulpit of Christianity falls along with it. And so we've got a real responsibility, and that is to make sure that America does not divide and fall. We've got to have a place where the gospel can be preached from sea to shining sea. Can you give God some praise? Oh, hallelujah. But he said, it's not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. This is the Lord's battle. God, we cannot legislate love. We cannot solve our problem. What we need, God, is a baptism of love that is shed abroad by the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's not going to happen because Congress wills it. It's going to happen when the church says, we ain't taking it no more. Praise God, we're going to worship God until hell shuts up and heaven speaks. We're going to praise God until the scroll of heaven rolls back and suddenly God's power is walking the streets of America again. So when Jehoshaphat appealed to God in worship, God gave him instructions. Number one, he said, to be not fearful or dismayed because of the strength of the enemy. Friend, it doesn't matter how it looks. I talked to a pastor the other day that I've known him for 50 years, and he's never been discouraged that I've ever talked to him. And you know what he said to me? He said, I am discouraged. I said, I'm not discouraged. Revival can't wait. God knows what he's doing. God's still on his throne. It ain't over yet until the big God speaks. And praise God, he's going to speak. My God knows exactly what he's doing. But to the church, this is his message. Be not fearful or dismayed because of the strength of the enemy. You said this enemy is too big. Oh, no, it's not. Not for God. Not for God's church. Because God not only guaranteed himself, he guaranteed us. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's you and me. Praise God. We've got a written guarantee by God that we're not going to fail. We're going to prevail. We're going to overcome. Hallelujah. Number two, he said, understand this. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. We are God's creation. America is an amazing place. When you study America's history, it shouldn't even be here today. It should not have won the war against England. We should have never, ever been here for that Revolutionary War. We should not have survived the Civil War. But America just keeps on surviving because God's not through with us yet. And so, praise God, realize the Lord is on our side. This is the Lord's battle. Number two, he says, set yourself and declare your confidence in the Lord. Friend, don't declare your confidence in your flesh or your intelligence or your degree or your political party or your race or your ideology. Declare, my confidence is in the Lord. Praise God. I don't know how much you listen to Tony Evans, but you ought to listen to him a lot. That's one of the smartest men in America. And oh, he was so good Sunday night when he was in a conference call with Pastor Hagee. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, when I go to a Cowboys game, I don't know what color they are because they got a uniform on. He said, you'll never lose your identity underneath the uniform. But he said, you got the uniform on. And he said, above all, I'm red. I'm covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only help and hope for us to have spiritual and racial equality in America is that we become one color, and that color is blood red, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have prejudice in me because I don't care what color you are, because you're wearing the uniform that I wear so proudly, and that is the blood wash of Jesus Christ. I'm washed in the blood. First, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian more than I'm a male. I'm a Christian before more than I'm a man. I'm a Christian before anything. Hallelujah! Because, praise God, this is an eternal badge that I wear. My confidence is in the Lord. My confidence is in the Lord. My confidence is in the Lord. Paul said, cast not away your confidence. I've got an idea that God sets high, but he looks low, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And through the war that we're involved now, there's coming a rumble of God's power and God's spirit. There's going to be a revival like America has never, ever seen before. Hallelujah. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Set yourself, declare your confidence in the Lord. Number four, stand strong in your faith. I've never talked to so many preachers that are so discouraged. Friend, I just refuse to go there. Revival can't wait. My faith can't falter. My faith has never been in the things that apparently other people have faith in. My faith is in Jesus Christ. He is the Almighty. He is the Conqueror. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. Somebody said to me that he said, it's just such a mess. I don't know what's going to happen. I said, remember this. God said, I'm the Alpha, the beginning. And God said, I'm the Omega, that's the ending. I said, apparently God gave the middle to us. He didn't say, I'm the middle. We're the middle and we're making a mess of it. But praise God, help is on the way. Because the Omega's still in charge. He said, I'll finish it up big. It's going to be bigger than it's ever been before, praise God. Hallelujah. The only hope for real integration in this world is when the church integrates, when we simply do not care anymore. And it's a sad commentary after all the noise and all the talk and all the legislation that in America that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is still the worst hour of the week because it is so segregated. Black churches and white churches and brown churches, God hates that with everything that's in him. He said, I'm made of one blood, one people, and we are that people, praise God. It's time for the church of the living God to get off the bleachers and get out in front and lead the parade. They're waiting for a voice. It needs to be the church of the living God. Can you give God some praise in this house? Stand strong in your faith. Number five, this is the instruction that he gave Jehoshaphat when Jehoshaphat was so outnumbered he could not even comprehend a victory. Number five, he said, remember, the Lord is with you. Friend, I want to tell you, if you will be a worshiper, if you will worship God, it doesn't matter what happens. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Say, what are we going to do? We're going to work on our worship. And if we do that, God will come from behind us. God will be in front of us, and God will cover both sides. And the Lord said, I am with you, and I will not neglect you, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat but said, look how big the enemy is. He said, just keep praising. Just keep worshiping. Just keep singing. Just keep glorifying the Lord. What can I do? I'm doing what I've done before, only just more of it. I'm praying more. I'm having faith more. I'm worshiping more. I'm expecting more. I'm leaning on the Lord more. Praise God. Remember, the Lord is with you. And then he said, just begin to worship. Just begin to worship. You say, I am not worthy to worship. Again, that is a lie from the devil to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. God sought you to worship the Lord. Well, not me. I'm not even a tither. I don't come to church but about half the time, and I got some problems that I don't want to talk about. Hey! Remember who he said it to. He said it to a serial adulteress. Five husbands and working on one that wasn't even her husband, the sixth. And the Lord wanted to talk to her about the Father seeketh such to worship you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what your sin is. I don't care what your problem is. You need to learn to lift up your hands and say, God, cleanse these hands. You need to give your heart to God and say, God, give me a pure heart. Oh, God, give me a single eye. I'm here to worship you. I might not be perfect, but this one thing I know, that you are alone in God, by God, and there is none like you, and there is none beside you. My confidence is in you. I'm going to worship you from the rise of the sun to the going down of the same. I'm not just going to worship God on Wednesday and Sunday. I'm going to come out of bed worshiping God. I'm going to worship God when I drive to work. I'm going to worship God when I get to work. I'm going to worship God while I'm at work. I'm going to worship God going home. I'm going to worship God at the traffic light. I'm going to worship God stuck in the traffic. You can't stop me. I've got to praise. I've got to praise. And it just won't stop. I just can't stop praising God. I just can't stop. My only hope, my only help is God Almighty. And He is my God. Give God some worship in this house tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Number seven, he told him, believe in God and his prosperity. And then the Bible tells us the eighth thing. And they begin to sing and praise God for his mercy and his holiness. Oh, what a merciful God we've got. Praise God. If that woman had showed up at church, they would have locked her out. They'd said, you're not welcome here. Neither you nor any of your five husbands or your little kids that are unnamed. We don't want none of you here. But God included her. He said, you're just what I've been looking for. I've been looking for somebody in trouble. I've been looking for somebody that realizes nothing can satisfy. And now I'm going to draw deep from the water in that well, and I'm going to satisfy you, because I'm going to teach you how to worship. And when I teach you how to worship, heaven's going to open up in your life. Hallelujah. Angels are going to let their ladders down and descend and ascend in your life every night. Praise God. You're going to get up every morning and something's going to be great. Why is it? Because his mercy is fresh every morning. What does that tell you? Something happened while you were sleeping, because it went from judgment to mercy while you were sleeping. Friend, while you're sleeping, God is working on your behalf. And so you ought to come up praising God and say, Lord, I want to worship you. I want to worship you for your holiness and your mercy, because you're good all the time. You ain't never been bad. You're a good God. You love me. You loved me when I was in bed with the first husband. You loved me when I was in bed with the second husband. You loved me when I was in bed with the third husband. You loved me when I was in bed with the fourth husband. You loved me when I was in bed with the fifth husband. And you loved me, and I just crawled out of bed with the sixth man, and he was a stranger. And the Lord said, just worship God. And if you will do that, I know what you're looking for. You're looking for satisfaction, and you ain't never found it. But if you become a true worshiper, I will satisfy the longing of your heart. I will sigh the cry. I will satisfy the cry of your spirit. Oh, hallelujah. That great army. Armies that had joined themselves. Did you ever have it when not one person, but people ganged up on you? They ganged up on Judah. They encircled them. And they waited for Judah to fire back. And now all they can hear is songs. All they can hear is shouting. All they can hear is hand clap. Oh, something's going on. What's going on? The Bible said they turned on themselves. Judah didn't have to fire a shot or wield a sword. The enemy turned on themselves, and all of their wealth was left uncovered. And all of Judah had to do is march in. And they marched in. And for 3 days, 3 days is very important, because Jesus was in the ground 3 days. What was he doing? He was readying the treasures for us. That's what he was doing. He was going to say, when they become worshipers, I will introduce them to my world, and they will see abundance like they've never seen it. They'll have things they've never worked for. They'll reap crops they've never sowed. I will lay up for them the wealth of the sinner. Ladies and gentlemen, it ain't over, and it ain't about over. There's a big finish. Get ready for the big finish. You don't want to leave now. Years ago, when the Spurs were good, they got way behind, and I got in my car and got down the road on 35 coming back here. And about halfway here, I flipped on the radio. They'd erased about a 17-point deficit in about 2 minutes, and they were winning the game. I wanted to turn around, but I couldn't go back. There's too much calamity in the parking lot. I just had to listen to it in the radio, in my car. Well, folks, I'm going to tell some of you, you're going to get tired of watching it online after a while. Somehow you're going to want to stay for the whole game. You're going to stay for the end, because the end is better than the beginning. You ain't seen nothing yet. Living Way has been amazing for 45 years. Last week, 1 week ago tonight, when we got through, we baptized 4 or 5 people that had never been in this building before. Oh, friend, that ain't it. That's just the earnest of it. Hallelujah. It's just beginning. Revival can't wait. Revival can't wait. Souls are dying. People are screaming. People are crying. Revival can't wait. Oh, I'll tell you what we need to do. You say, I don't know how to witness, and I don't have enough money to give. That's not what he's asking you for. He's asking for you to become a worship warrior that will literally open up the gate of heaven and will merge heaven and earth until they become one, until God's Spirit can be said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Get ready. You ain't seen it yet, but God's about to do it. He's about to do a big thing. You talk about turnaround. You talk about change. You talk about seeing something you've never seen, experiencing something you never experienced, possessing things you've never possessed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. The enemy destroyed themselves, and they went to get the bounty, and the Bible said they couldn't even carry it. For 3 days, they gathered up the spoil. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, the Bible does not lie. And when he says he's going to pour out a blessing on you that you can't contain, it don't mean a little bit. It don't mean kind of much. It don't mean a pretty good portion. It means more than you can drink, more than you can eat, more than you can wear, more than you can drive, more than you can inhale. He said, more than you're able to contain. Friend, it's going to be more than you can possibly take care of. You're going to have to give it to mama and daddy and brother and sister and neighbor and friend. Hallelujah. It's coming, ladies and gentlemen. I hear the sound of a going in a mulberry tree. This is not a time to weep. This is a time to rejoice in the God of your salvation. You need to say, Lord, I'm going to praise you tonight before I go to bed. I'm going to worship you in the morning when I get up. I'm going to worship you more than I've ever worshiped you. I'm not afraid. My confidence is in the Lord. Somebody right now, praise God, you're able to worship yourself into a divine healing. Watching at home. Online right now, if you'd get out of that old chair and get to walking around praising God around your living room, you'd find that God would heal your body, and by Sunday you could be in the house of God. Hallelujah. Somebody in this building right now, if you'd get unchained from that pew and just begin to worship God and say, I don't care what my husband thinks. I don't care what my friend that's second next to me thinks. I'm going to worship Almighty God until heaven comes down, until the pain is gone, until the disease is conquered, until my end is now awesome. Praise God. I'm going to begin to praise God with everything that's in me, and nobody, not you, not the preacher, not the devil, nobody can stop me from worshiping Almighty God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.